makers of Ex-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Mix your comedy with drama. You're thrilled with adventure. Add just a dash of mystery. And you have Strange as It Seems, the program brought to you twice each week by the makers of Ex-Lax, the original chocolated laxative. Before our strange parade begins, may we take a moment to tell you something about Ex-Lax? Why, out of all the other laxatives in the world, it is overwhelmingly the favorite? Why, in America, more than 46 million boxes were used last year? An amazing record for one product to achieve. But there's a reason. Ex-Lax is mild and gentle. And yet, with all its mildness, it is thoroughly effective. As effective, in fact, as anything you can take. Then, too, Ex-Lax is a joy to take. Imagine, it tastes just like smooth, creamy chocolate. Almost everybody needs help now and then, and when you do, won't you try Ex-Lax? Ex-Lax is everything a laxative should be. Make it your family laxative. It's equally good for young or old. And what an economy! A box of Ex-Lax costs only 10 cents at any drugstore. The old-fashioned cure for rabies.
Mad dog! Mad dog!
Those words were enough to frighten our grandparents so much that they stayed within their houses until the unfortunate creature was destroyed. All because dread hydrophobia walks the roads like an avenging demon. It is 1806. New York State has an epidemic of rabies. As yet, no Pasteur with his inoculations and vaccine has come forward to calm a terrified populace.
Johnny, where are you going?
Oh, no place, Ma. Can I go out in the yard?
No, you stay inside. There's a mad dog around someplace. He was seen over to the Williams farm.
But, Ma, I ain't afraid. I can run if I can.
No, you stay right here. Oh, I didn't want to tell you, but I got to. That dog bit Cora Williams.
Oh, gee. Honest, Ma?
Now will you stay home?
Did he really?
Yes. Oh, they don't know what to do. Miss Williams is scared to death.
Gee, and Cora was over here just yesterday. Oh, Ma. Ma.
Oh, there now, Johnny. Don't be frightened. Just you be a good boy and mind your Ma.
Oh, I will, Ma. I will. Well, Cora, will she get well?
Oh, nobody knows. They can only wait, Johnny. Wait and hope.
People are so terrified that the New York legislature meets to discuss the epidemic. Then, to their relief, John M. Cruz comes before the legislative committee with a cure.
Gentlemen, you see before you my bottle of rabies cure. It is a combination of all the finest herbs mixed with certain elements of my own choosing. I mix them all together by the light of the full moon at midnight. Besides grass taken from a crossroads, the leaves of witch hazel, milk from the milkweed, and cobwebs from a choke cherry bush, I have pulverized the jawbone of a donkey and boiled a dozen horse tongues together with the rust off an English penny.
What's the good of rust off a penny?
I can't go into the complicated chemical reaction of such things. You are lawmakers, not scientists. Well, gentlemen, do you care to use this remedy, or shall I present it to the legislature of New Jersey?
What is your price for this remedy, Mr. Cruz?
$1,000?
Perhaps we better talk this over alone. Mr. Cruz, suppose you retire for a few moments while we give the matter our careful consideration.
Very well, sir. And I feel sure that you will give it a favorable decision. For the moment, then, good morning to you all.
Good morning. Strange as it seems, but true, in 1806, the New York legislature actually paid Mr. Cruz the $1,000 for his ridiculous rabies cure. 80 years later, Louis Pasteur gave the world its first and only cure. Now that the mortality from hydrophobia has been reduced to less than 1%, it seems incredible that any governing body could have paid such a sum of money to a faker. The world's strangest check. Nowadays, when cashing checks in any bank is often a very complicated business, the following incident seems almost incredible. It is sometime in the 50s, in San Francisco, of the gold rush. The banking firm of Palmer, Cook & Company is doing a rushing business as usual.
Good morning, Mr. Proctor. How's business?
Not good. I have to draw out a lot of money. Close out my account.
How much do you want?
$28,000.
Well, I'd have to get Mr. Palmer's consent before I could let you have $28,000.
Oh, I know Palmer. He let me have it.
He isn't here. He's down at the lumberyard.
But I've got to have that money right now.
I'm sorry. You'll have to wait until Mr. Palmer returns.
Oh, he's at the lumberyard, you say? Well, I'll ride down there and talk to him.
But Mr. Proctor, he can't do anything about it.
I'm going to the lumberyard. I've got to have that money. I know Palmer. I'll give it to me.
Proctor. Haven't seen you for a long time.
I know. I rode down here from the bank. I've got to see you about something, Palmer.
Well, what's the trouble, Proctor? You look all head up.
I'm closing out my account. Eh? I've got to have $28,000 right now.
Yeah, didn't they have it at the bank?
They said you'd have to give your consent.
Yeah, that's right. That's a lot of money.
But what am I to do, Palmer? I've got to have that money by 11 o'clock, and it's almost that time now.
Yeah, I'll give you a check and charge it to your account. Yeah, wait a minute now. I don't think I have one. Nope, I didn't bring any with me.
But what am I going to do? I've got to have that
money.
Now,
Proctor, hold on. They may have some at the office over by the mill.
Well, that's a quarter of a mile away.
Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. Hand me one of those shingles over there.
Shingles? Well, here you are. But listen, Palmer, time's going fast. Now, how about that money?
Keep your shirt on. Now, you see, I have some red chalk here.
Now, what are you going to do, write a note to the teller on that shingle?
More than a note, I'm writing a check.
But they won't honor such a thing, then.
Pay to the order of Alan Proctor. The sum of $28,000 on demand. Signed, Joseph C. Palmer. There now. Now, take this check to the cashier. He'll honor it for you and close out your account.
Check written on a shingle. Well, I'll be...
And next time, Proctor, don't catch me in the lumberyard. I don't know how many times I could get away with it. Good luck.
Strange as it seems, a check for $28,000 was written on a shingle with red chalk. The check was honored immediately on presentation at the banking house of Palmer, Cook & Company during the gold rush days of old San Francisco. The Mausoleum of Knowledge. About 400 miles from Bangkok, the principal town of Siam, are the Buddhist temple gardens of Chiang Mai. On a lovely river, surrounded by forests of giant chalmudra trees. Tier upon tier of exquisite temples astonish the fortunate visitors who make the trip to Chiang Mai. You are standing in the temple gardens. A fine-looking Buddhist priest, clad in saffron robe, leads you through the paths toward the Mausoleum of Knowledge.
Come this way, visitors from far-off lands. You must tread softly now, for you are on sacred ground. Here before us is one of the temples to the Buddha, which has been built for hundreds of years. As you climb the steps, do not speak and do not walk heavily. Within these walls are those who spend their days writing their inmost thoughts, prayers, hopes. Now we are here. Come, you may look within. Over there sits one of the priests of the temple. Watch him as he writes his thoughts of Buddha.
What is he using to write with?
He is using a brass stylus. He writes on the leaves of the Talipot palm.
What are all those manuscripts over there? They look like they were wrapped in silk.
Those are palm leaf scriptures, like the one my colleague now works upon. Later on, it will be placed away in the vault with his other writings. Come away now. We disturb him in his contemplations.
I beg your pardon. Did I understand you to say that he places his writings in vaults?
Yes, honored visitor. No one ever reads any of the manuscripts in this temple.
Then why are they written?
It would be difficult for you to understand such things. We of the Buddhist faith write our thoughts for the love of writing. It would desecrate our manuscript to have it read by others. After all, most honored one, can you really understand my soul any more than I can understand yours? I do not think so. Only one being can understand. That is the Buddha. This is why we write these works of art, for Buddha and for our own souls.
Strange as it seems, in Siam there is a mausoleum of knowledge filled with the literary efforts of hundreds of Buddhist subjects. No one knows what these manuscripts contain because they are never read. To write a good book for the joy of writing is the aim of every idealist author of Siam. And here is another strange fact. When bicycles were built for two and Grandma was a girl, people believed that the effectiveness of a laxative could be measured by its unpleasant taste. Was the taste bad? Then it was a good medicine. It took a minor hero to down some of the unpleasant and often startling mixtures in Grandma's medicine chest. But stranger still is the fact that even today there are people who, when a laxative is needed, will go back to the past for one of those unpleasant remedies. So unnecessary. The modern laxative is X-Lax. Mild, gentle, yet thoroughly effective, and so delightful to take. It tastes like smooth, creamy chocolate. When you need a laxative, won't you try X-Lax and find out for yourself just how good a laxative can be and how inexpensive, too. X-Lax costs only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. A king of Spain was once a martyr to etiquette. Listen to our next broadcast. You will also hear of a storm that saved an empire. If it had not been for this storm, one of the major nations would not be in existence today. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbrister. The football is not a pigskin.